Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Thursday morning. June 24th, 2021. I'm John Paul Flame, joined
Bless
by
you, Ricky.
Eric Bickle.
Morning.
And the sneezy Jason
hey,
Bishop.
Hey, what's up? What's going on, boys?
Are you still hawking up your morning lugs, or did you stop that because you were at home?
It's usually in the car. So, yeah, I was doing it on the street, just spitting out the window.
But you know, I had a 40... cup at home, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely did.
Right.
He had a cup at home, for sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be here today, because I texted you guys last night. I pulled a lurch. I was in bed at like 7:15 or 7:30. I had a temperature and like chills.
It's a great feeling.
I mean, the chills aren't a great feeling when it's like hot outside and all of a sudden you're freezing.
No, that part's not good, but getting to bed early and getting good night's
sleep. Felt normal this morning and in here to power through an open line Thursday. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We got some Nats to talk about on the show today. They pull out another win. I think they're just one game under 500 Dude. Now. They've been creeping back.
Here's what's so scary about it. Obviously, you have no idea what the future holds. They're doing this at the exact same time they did this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's great. What's great about it is that it gives you hope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you know, it's also fool's gold, too, because you can't keep doing this. You can't keep digging huge holes and then think you're going to be able to climb your way out of it. But so far they are, and they're relevant, and they're fun to watch.
If you're Joe Girardi, last night must have been a tough night's sleep, because he, you know, you blow two big leads like that, and then you have your closer in there in the ninth. He can't hold it. And after everything that happened a couple nights ago, man, that must have been a tough night's sleep for Joey.
And your name's been dragged through the mud by Mike Rizzo, making nationwide news, calling you a con artist.
Thank you, Mike, for giving us an unbelievable quote.
Yep.
So
got some good pub yesterday from a bunch of different sources.
We got some Nats to talk about. NBA playoffs. I woke up surprised to see that the Hawks had won.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not surprising when Trae Young drops 48. Well, he's just a special talent.
That's what I mean. It's not surprising that the Hawks won the game, but when you see that two of their players had nearly, I don't know, 80% of their points, and the Bucks, they just couldn't stop Trae Young. I mean,
and
it's not like
he
hit a ton of threes. He just hit bucket after bucket after bucket.
And the truth is, on the Bucks side, Giannis gives it to you every night. Chris Middleton's up and down.
He's up and down.
It's what happened in the previous series. Like, some nights he looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
Looks like an all-star. He'll score nearly 40 points, and then the next night he'll shoot like 25%. And I woke up and saw the box score. So we have all that to get into. But Drab mentioned something. When you go to bed early and you're not paying attention to stuff because you're not feeling well, unplugged, right. Had no idea there was some sort of Miami building collapse.
Well, I don't think most people know. It happened overnight.
Okay.
The thing is that if you go to any of the news sites, it's probably one of the lead stories. They're just trying to figure it out. It happened early in the morning. Mm. But, you know, they think maybe as many as 90 people still live in this condo in Miami Beach that appears to have collapsed. The thing is I was telling Drab, and I know nothing about it other than the images I've seen and read a few paragraphs. It looks just like the Oklahoma City bombing.
It does.
So,
yeah.
And then a neighbor said it felt like an earthquake. who knows what happened there? I don't know, speculate, but I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like a nuke went off. So hopefully it's just like a sinkhole. It's like a natural disaster and no one is hurt.
Yeah.
But that looks terrifying.
Or old construction, maybe.
Maybe it's old construction.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe there was an earthquake or, you know, something happened. But that doesn't look good.
So they still don't know the reason.
Well, I mean, it just happened a few hours ago.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do
they know about deaths or injuries?
Somebody said they don't know yet, but they think maybe as many as 90 people may live in the joint.
Yeah.
Well, they pulled, a young boy from the rubble already.
Yeah. So, it's definitely an occupied, an occupied building. That doesn't bode well, though.
No,
that means that there are people in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's just, it's crazy, man. That's a terror. I can't even fathom that. Can you imagine you live in an old condo, but, you know, you live there for 10 years, and all of a sudden the thing just collapses? Let's just say
middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden you're in rubble like it's the friggin' World Trade Center. I can't even fathom that. And then, you know, then you had, and I don't even know if we talked about it yesterday. I don't remember the pedestrian bridge that just collapsed over there by Benning Road, which I believe is over there by, you know, the stadium, the old stadium.
Yep.
There were like four or five people involved with that one, too. Did anybody die? I thought maybe the initial report was one person, but I'm not sure that it was accurate. Do we know?
No, I don't think anybody died.
From the pedestrian bridge collapse?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's driven underneath that thing.
Given a poor rating before the collapse.
Well, yeah, you know how many buildings, how many bridges have been given poor ratings, though? And we just drive over them or walk over them every day?
Yeah.
I mean, even we just, you know, as we were going.
They're all over the city.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. Well, they're all over the country.
I know it's a political thing, but that's why they're talking about infrastructure deals, because they've looked at the country.
They should
spend
money on infrastructure.
Doesn't even matter which administration it is. They need to repair old bridges like that have been around for years and years.
No question.
But it becomes a political football.
Everything becomes political. It's sad. There's no question that we should spend money on infrastructure. No question about it.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that today, driving in, thinking about the city. Not just this city, but any city. And when I hear friends talk about moving out of the suburbs into the city, and I just don't understand why.
Why they
move into the city.
Yeah. Well,
there's pros and cons.
I'm just saying it's my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a suburban guy. I am too.
I get it. I mean, some people want to be close to work. They want to walk to work and stuff.
Right.
You don't have to.
If you're a 30-year-old dude, you live here, get the life. You got bars. You got Nats Park.
I know.
It's a great lifestyle.
I'm in a different phase of life. But I just picture myself living in the city, and I just couldn't do it. You got a lot more people.
Yep.
It's more expensive. The closer you live to the city, it's more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just... And then you got stuff like this. I mean, there's construction everywhere down here.
Yeah.
It took forever for me to get out of the city yesterday. When I say forever, it took 20 minutes, and it should take 3.
Uh-huh.
Because there's construction everywhere.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to navigate. It's never taken me 20 minutes, but I will get bitter if I have to wait behind a cement truck for a minute.
Yeah.
Even 1 minute, I get bitter.
Yeah. Well, I was caught in one of those stop-slow sections.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is scary, man.
Yeah. Everything's falling apart. I mean, when we were going to the beach, you know, I had four 12-year-olds in the car, and they're curious, and they, you know, they talk out loud. And one of the kids was saying, "How does this bridge? How is it standing in the water with all of these cars and trucks?"
Yeah.
You know, that's a common. I mean, I was like,
Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Yeah,
I don't have the answer.
I know.
You know, and the bridge looks butt old.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you they've done some analysis that it's not there's got to be parts of that bridge that probably are a little bit dicey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like old rust or need some upkeep.
You just have to trust that the state is on top of it.
Yeah, you got to trust our engineers.
Anytime you just think about the people that drive over that thing every single day.
Oh, yeah.
And you just got to trust that thing's sturdy.
To me, crazy thing is somebody that just doesn't know about engineering is tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of understand a bridge. Although, I don't necessarly know how they drop the concrete.
How does the concrete stay legit?
They create some sort of vacuum. I don't know.
Yeah.
But a tunnel.
How do they burrow out a tunnel?
Underneath all that water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand how you build it out, But it's just, that's an amazing piece of construction.
Well, you know
to
that
me.
When I go through a tunnel, and JP likes to break cakes and eyeballs for always thinking, and even Jason to some extent, always thinking about some catastrophic way I can die at this moment, mm-hmm. right? I think about that anytime I'm, okay, how can I die in this moment?
Yeah.
When I go through a tunnel, here's the nightmare scenario I have. A flood of water coming through the
you.
Tunnel,
right.
Like a Sylvester Stallone movie or something.
Yeah. And then you're done skiing, you have no way
yeah,
out.
It's like a wave of water, and you're just done.
I know.
I have that every time I go through a tunnel. That thought comes. I think there was a movie where I saw that where it got into my brain.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that you also think about. You know, when you're especially when you're going underwater.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. The last time I went through a tunnel, it's been a while.
You don't go through the Harbor Tunnel?
I go through that Baltimore one all the time.
Yeah, Harbor Tunnel,
McHenry Tunnel, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I haven't been.
I guess
up there
you haven't traveled north.
I haven't.
Yeah,
I haven't gone anywhere really.
I feel like I'm always going through that tunnel.
Isn't there one to get to like Virginia Beach too?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can go through like the 16-mile one.
That's a long one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. It's bridge tunnel.
Yeah, I went through that once in my lifetime. I think we're going down there for a softball tournament. I think it's been one time.
I used to go through it every year because we used to go to Virginia Beach all the time.
But you're right, JP. I don't go north. I've just been going south.
Yeah.
And there's no tunnels, I don't think.
Well, I used to go through that tunnel all the time just to take my mother to the Bayview Medical Center, which is just on the other side. Yeah. And then if I traveled to New Jersey or New York.
I'll be going through that tunnel every weekend.
Yeah.
You know, for going to Cornell. Or
because you're
going
to be going up to New York. Yeah.
I have been anyway, just going up to freaking Poughkeepsie.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know? But now
I was thinking about you a couple days ago. I was talking to my financial advisor, and we were kind of.
Oh, you were thinking about my imminent financial demise? Yeah,
well, I was just thinking about, because, you know, he handles my college fund, and we have a target number to put both of my girls through for 4 years. And, you know, I'm still a little short, but I was thinking, man, if I was Eric, I mean, I got to come up with a lot more money.
Well, I'm just not worrying about it. It'll just, life will figure it out.
Yeah. I was just pondering the number that you have.
I try not to think of my son.
Because you still have a third.
Yeah. No, my son is straight. I'm not worried about him. I got him covered. Mm-hmm. My daughter, I got about half of it covered. And then we'll just wing it.
Yeah.
We'll just wing it.
And there's families, like I know families that'll have three, maybe even four kids in college at the same time. Like some families that have twins.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, you've got twins, and then they have another kid like 2 years later.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot
of
twists.
Thing is, I know some people, and at this stage, in 2021, I mean, I know, I don't want to say their jobs, but I know people that have great jobs, great educations, and they never saved for their children.
Really?
They just lived, and they never set up like, that's the one thing I'll say that we did.
Yeah.
And it, to any young person out there, Drabby, the day my kids were born, we set up college funds.
Yes.
For all three of them.
I did the same thing.
So, I mean, I'm not that worried about college. We'll get through it.
Yeah.
But if you don't plan for it 20 years in advance,
well, look,
you're going to be doomed.
I mean, I don't know.
Unless you're just rich.
I don't know what percentage of the population can't afford to put any money in monthly to a college fund.
Well, think about, that's a different issue. I'm talking about
people
that
who
live
could.
In fancy neighborhoods.
I get it.
That just, they don't save. I can think of two people in particular that have high-paying jobs, and they just, I guess they just lived above their means their whole life.
Maybe, yeah.
And they just,
well, also, the cost of education skyrocketed over the last 20 years. I mean, just,
absolutely.
But you could envision it, though. I mean, I've known it since I knew when my kids were born. I was like, well, college is going to be outrageous. And it was exactly what I thought.
I was always beyond inflation. I had a financial advisor when Kelsey was born. Okay, I started putting money away, and I still remember. He shows me this graph, and he's like, all right, put away this amount, and it'll be covered.
Mm-hmm.
College will be covered. Well, University of Maryland would have been covered, but then when you go to like a Cornell or an NYU, that's way beyond that graph.
Oh,
I've actually thought of, he's not my financial advisor anymore. I've actually thought about going back to him and go, hey, remember that graph? Yeah. It didn't take into consideration $75K a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, my younger daughter, who just graduated, she's got friends who wanted to go to out-of-state schools.
Mm-hmm.
That was their number one choice. One girl in particular wanted to go to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Parents said, you can go to Indiana, but we're only covering the in-state portion as if you went to JMU.
And that's fair.
So you got to cover the rest in student loans. So she said, I don't want to do that. She's going to James Madison.
Mm-hmm. That's a standard discussion people have.
Yeah. And I feel bad for her because she really wanted to go out to Bloomington. She loved it. She wanted to go there. But she doesn't want the cost of.
Aren't you chipping? You really wanted her to go.
Chip in for your friend.
Chipped in.
Oh. No, I mean, I feel bad. Hey, I'm still short on in-state for two kids.
Hey, believe me, my daughter
But that's just the way that you deal with money, because we know you've got savings, which you can move over to college funds.
No, no, I'm going to have it by the time that my younger daughter's through it. I'll have it, but you still think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I still stress over it.
Here's the one thing I always say to people, and I stress about money like everybody does at times, but somehow you figure it out. Somehow you figure it out. My kid went to high school. I never thought I was... If I told you what I paid for high school,
yeah,
you'd blow your mind.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
But you just... It just... You figure it out.
Well, we're
I know, but some people
yeah,
more...
Yeah, but what you would do is you'd do two, three jobs or whatever.
Some
you have
people
to do,
are more positive thinking about that. I'm not
You'll
as positive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, right.
I mean, look, I know how much money I need, and I try and do the math, you know, unless we get fired next year.
But don't worry. I got a plan for you. But health, I worry about my balls.
I worry about that too, believe me.
I check my armpits.
You think I don't worry about that?
Every day I check my armpits for a tumor.
Uplifting start to the show.
I check my armpits for a tumor because I want lymph nodes. I check my potato sack. I always check.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for strange moles. Every day.
I don't worry about the moles as much, but I definitely check on those other spots.
All right, yeah. Got to take a break. It is Open Line Thursday. You want to
check your
in.
Breasts? You might have a male breast cancer.
Great
that
start
does
to the
happen.
Show. Our infrastructure's falling apart. We're falling apart. Don't have enough money. That's the way the show has started. But like I said, we've got Ryan Zimmerman on the show. He's always great. He'll join us at 9:20 as we talk about the Red Hot Nats. Big win yesterday. Poured in a bunch of runs. Schwarber hit another homer.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that. Got NBA playoffs and more. 800-636-1067. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on an Open Line Thursday. Presented by Window Nation. You search it for new windows and doors? Search WindowNation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live. Got our pal Ryan Zimmerman jumping on at 9:20. Don't want to miss that. He's always excellent. Time now, though, to open up the Junkie Sports page, brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA certified hub zone provider, and Dell Federal Partner.
I think we still have to kind of lead off with the Rizzo stuff from yesterday, because we had Riz on like we do every Wednesday at 9:00. And obviously we were going to talk about the Joe Girardi stuff. And that was a fiasco. It was a complete circus what happened with Max. And I don't know if you still have the clips, but I'd like to hear it again. But, of course, Rizzo hammered Girardi, called him a con artist, and we did talk about the fact that that was going to go viral
immediately.
Well, before
he called him a con artist, he said it was an embarrassment to the Phillies, to the organization, yeah. Embarrassment to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then when asked whether it was gamesmanship or not, he said, of course it was gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Of course he's trying to break him off rhythm.
You want to hear the clip of him calling it an embarrassment?
Yes, I want to hear that.
Do you think Girardi was playing games there?
Of course he was. What are we, idiots? Of course he was.
I agree.
It's embarrassing for Girardi. It's embarrassing for the Phillies. It's embarrassing for baseball. Yes, he's playing games, and hey, that's his right.
But anyway, so when we heard that, I was thinking, okay, well, that's going to get viral. Everyone's going to be talking about it. And I'm driving home at 10:15 or 10:20.
Well, let me be honest with you. I didn't think that until he called him a con man.
Yeah,
when he
said
it was embarrassing, and I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. But then when he called him a con man, I went, oh, that's
con
juicy.
Artist. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to MLB radio, and Jim Duquette's doing his show at 10:20, and they're talking. I can't remember who the co-host was, but immediately he goes, yeah, he just did an interview with, didn't give us credit. He just said a DC radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he called him a con artist. So they didn't run the clip.
Right.
But immediately at 10:20, then it took off.
Right.
That was his goal. He's a con artist. He got you in the con. So you believe it. And that's the way it is. He's been doing that for years.
It's still interesting, though, because he defends him, too, and he says he likes him, and then he just trashes him left and right.
Yeah, I don't know how much he likes him, though.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
I think that's just the throwaway. Yeah.
That shtick.
Maybe he liked him when he was scouting him in high school.
But it was great stuff, and I have to say this because I can only be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
He often says things like, oh, yeah, Carter Kieboom's seeing the ball great. We're just waiting to get him. And you look at it, and he's hitting 199.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's a very rosy kind of guy, and he's not going to say anything negative. And so when you got something good like that, I was thankful. And even though he was kind of taking a shot at me, I knew it was great. And immediately, I know how this works because we've been in this business for 25 years. Okay? And us, honestly, getting credit for things doesn't really matter. It's not going to change the arc of our lives at all.
No.
But it is important when you get a nugget that you do credit the show. If I was a writer and I broke a story, you don't want to just say from the Washington Post. You want the writer and, you know what I mean, to get credit. These guys battle for, like, who gets cut, like, you know, with some of the most minuscule things.
Yeah.
But it's important to us as a show that the station gets credit, but also so the show gets credit. And I was taking note of all of the networks and all of the outlets and all of the websites that were just crediting the station or
the show.
Or the show.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you.
Well, what percentage were crediting us?
50% maybe. Yeah. Maybe half.
Yeah.
Well, maybe half.
If they ask, a lot of times they ask for permission.
Yes.
Like there was a ABC in Philadelphia yesterday was asking for permission. ESPN was. We'll respond. Sure, absolutely. Can you please credit the Sports Junkies on 106.7?
Right, right. And these guys, I have to say, our producers, you know, we break their balls, but they are fierce defenders of the show. One thing I'll say is they're abnormally into the show. Like Valdez is a weirdo.
Well,
like,
Valdez loves the show. I think Valdez took it too far with Grant. What? I mean, that was such a non thing. I saw him like going at Grant because Grant quoted after we had it. And
well,
he didn't
it's not just Grant. I talked to JP Finley about it too.
Yeah,
we're on the same team. We should, I think this show goes out of the way to promote other shows and other talents on the station.
We always promote everyone. I think
everyone. So I just felt like
I don't think it was some sort of intentional thing, and it looked like he was coming at Grant.
Maybe not. But I appreciate him defending the show.
Can you explain? Can you explain?
Sure.
Back and forth.
Grant tweeted a quote from Rizzo that was juicy, and Grant's a big deal on Twitter and with the MLB Network. I mean, he works for MLB Network Radio.
Right.
And so there was no credit to the show, just the station. And then I tagged him on Junks Radio.
Uh-huh.
He told me there was not enough characters to include the Junkies, and And my $50,000 journalism degree showed them there was a way.
Listen, I'll say this, and I've already had this. I texted these guys privately. I love their fierce defending of the show. But in full transparency, I think that probably should have been handled off air, privately. But I appreciate. I know where his heart is. His heart's always in the right place. This guy will put hot sauce on his balls. He'll smash his car with a baseball bat. There are no two fiercer defenders of the show. They defend the show more than we do. So I appreciate it.
And plus, it wasn't just Grant. I had a conversation with J.P. Finley because J.P. Finley did the same thing. And yeah. I showed him how on a very popular MLB website, MLB Trade Rumors, they said that the interview happened on J.P. Finley's show. And I showed him that, you know, that's what happens when you don't credit the show that it's on, especially huge news like that.
Right.
And then he apologized to me, and he understood.
And I love all those guys, and you know, it's not necessarily intentional, but the point is that when you do break a little story, a little news, and you have a guy on for five years.
Well, the thing is, it's not just little.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big
thing. It was a big story.
It's a big thing. But look,
I mean,
know,
it was, in ESPN's headlines, it was the top story.
I believe me. My
the top
phone
link.
Couldn't stop. Friends were all saying how excited they were to see it, and I was excited to see it. I was like, it's nice anytime your show gets an acknowledgement,
yeah.
Right? So it's important. It's not going to change the arc of anything. It's not going to give me an extra dollar.
But for that day, it's nice recognition. Yeah.
It's important to keep you in the realm.
Do you think Grant and Danny would be a little deflated that on NBA on TNT if Ernie just mentioned 106.7 The Fan and not their afternoon
sure.
show?
Everybody wants their show to be mentioned.
Right. Yeah.
And that's all. And so, I have no issue with the guys here internally. I'm talking about networks, websites,
yeah, national papers,
national people. Yeah. Would they, you know, just give the show credit? We got a good nugget. Give the station credit. Give the show credit. That's how you do it professionally.
Yes.
Yeah, but most journalists are lazy. That's really what it comes down to. They're lazy. I don't think there's some sort of malicious intent.
For most people, there's not.
Most people, there's no thought. They just they hear the nugget. And they go,
that.
Ooh, I gotta tweet that out.
That. Now, I think that for some people there is. But I think for that vast majority, there isn't, and it's laziness. That's the problem with our country, laziness.
So give me the networks that gave us the credit. Obviously, ESPN did. You mentioned was it a TV station or a newspaper in Philly, Drabby?
ABC in Philadelphia. Yeah, USA Today, USA I believe, Day. Gave us credit.
Post, New York Post.
Fox.
Sports Illustrated.
No, I think the New York Post only credited the station from what I saw.
But about Washington Post?
Washington Post mocked us for...
no, Steinberg just mocked us.
But. Steinberg mocked us for battling for credit. But let me tell you something. If a Post writer, you know, put out on a tweet that some guy got cut, some third linebacker before another guy, they'd be livid if they didn't get credit.
Right.
So...
Of course, very
whatever.
Hypocritical.
Everybody just wants to get credit because you work hard.
What about Inquirer up in Philly? They had to have run it.
I'm not sure if it was.
I mean, it's one of those things. Listen, and here's the thing. It's not our first rodeo. We go back to Justin Gilbestob talking about when he had sex with Martina Hingis.
Yes.
Or, you know, I mean, these things have happened. We had the Rob Ford thing. I'm going to brag here. Too many things have gone viral over 25 years to even keep track of it.
Yeah.
But.
I've forgotten about most of them.
Me too.
Yeah.
But when it happens, it's important.
I agree.
That they credit the show.
Okay.
That's all. It won't earn me a dollar. It won't earn JP a dollar. It won't earn Lurch or any of the other guys a dollar.
Right. There could be some Hick and Delco listening to the show for the first time because
he
found out about it.
You can't drive someone to your show. They go, oh, those guys had Rizzo. I wonder what their thought. How did that come about?
Here's your article from the Philly Inquirer. If you want Philly's perspective, an article. Dave Dombrowski defends Joe Girardi after Mike Rizzo called the Phillies manager a con artist. So Dombrowski is the
right, but did they
GM?
Give us credit?
I'm looking through the article. It's the first time. I hadn't clicked on Philly Inquirer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way you can find out easy is you do a Google search, and you type in junkies and con artist.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
Rizzo con artist.
Yeah. You think it's tough for listeners right now to kind of put themselves in our shoes? They're like, what do these guys care?
Yeah,
you know, like
maybe it could be, but it's like, just thinking about it in your job. If you you know you slave away every day, and
right,
all of a
you
sudden,
had some big project that you were in charge of, and then Joe Schmo gets all the credit
in the team meeting that you got the scoop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just an acknowledgement because you worked hard for it.
Well, I just saw some comments on Twitter yesterday, like, who cares, guys? You know,
understood, but
it's hard to explain that to people.
Yeah, and it's fine. I don't care.
And the truth is, I kind of feel that way. So it's a minority opinion. But I probably agree with that. Like, I don't care that much.
Yeah, JP doesn't care, but I do care. I think it is important for the branding of the show. It's not going to make me a dollar. not going to make Lurch a dollar, but it's important for the branding of the show that if we conduct...
Well, I just want to get credit for a good interview. It was a great interview.
If we do millions that don't get credit.
I mean, usually, if I don't know how many radio stations have their you know, their local baseball team's GM on every week, but GMs usually don't call other managers con artists. That doesn't happen very
right,
often.
No. You got good stuff.
They
and
usually say the right thing about it, and they're pretty neutral.
Yeah, this is really pulling back the curtain. But younger junks, we would go out of our way to goad people into saying things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not really cool. As you get older, you see, it's not really cool to goad somebody into saying something right. negative because then you're setting them up for the backlash.
At the end of the day, Mike's doing us a favor.
Sure. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you do like a gotcha thing where you're trying to buddy up with somebody, we used to do this all the time. But it's kind of a cheap move because you know you just want to get a viral clip out of it. But if it comes out naturally, like that one legitimately came out naturally.
Natural.
Yeah.
And what was funny about...
Do you know the difference? Do you know what I'm saying?
That's true. But what I get sized for is that if this interview with Mike Rizzo was after the game yesterday or two mm-hmm. days ago, I could understand him being heated.
He was still pissed.
I get sized that he slept on it,
yes.
knew the interview was coming, and then probably figured, I'm still going to trash this guy, knowing it coming
yeah, but
on.
I think...
And he saved it for us, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Do you think he did? Or I think but he was just caught rare emotion.
It was the,
I don't think he realized it would go as viral, because he probably, after he I did think, it, after the media hit, he probably went, now yeah, I got to deal with
but it. But it also was the follow-up question that one of the junkies believed Girardi that irked him the most.
Mm.
He didn't take a personal shot at Girardi.
I asked him before the interview. I asked him when I talked to him about being in the suite last night, and he said something similar to what he said on the show.
He said the whole
thing. He was fired up.
An embarrassment to baseball.
When I put him on hold, I said, here we go.
Yeah.
I could tell he was about to blast him.
So do you think he consciously knew this is going to raise a stink, and
yes.
I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. He's so pissed off.
He was probably thinking of the perfect word to call him.
Well,
right.
He was brilliant.
But
that was the greatest we've ever had him on.
But first of all, I said that yesterday after the interview. I said he's still pissed. He slept on it, and he it's 12 hours later, or whatever it was. I said he's still pissed off.
Right, right.
About what happened, and so he definitely there's 100% chance he was thinking about what angle to take on our show. He thinks about that. 100%.
Right. Mike's a calculated guy.
Yeah. He's smart.
Well, he's calculated in the sense that he's normally very guarded and always protects his guys. And, of course, this was protecting
his
guys.
Right, but he knew that was going to be a topic.
Of course.
So he knew he's going to have a response.
Do you think he knew? If he did, then I really have respect for him. Do you think he knew that I'm going to say this on the junks, I'm going to give him this rose, and then it's going to, for the next 24 hours.
I'm going to bless them with this viral
thing. I'm going to bless them with this, and it's going to be on every crawl in sports media.
I'm not
for
saying
the next
he knew ESPN.com was going to have it in the top story, but I'm saying that he knew it was going to be discussed. He knew we were going to ask him about it. And
of course.
And he already had his answer.
A dead man knew that.
He was still angry.
Yes, but do you think?
But he didn't care.
What you were saying
he didn't care.
I thought you were saying he knew that this was going to go viral, and he was having to deal with it for 24 hours.
Of course, because that's why Mike always a lot of times deesn't give you direct answers because
he
doesn't want
to deal with it.
He doesn't want it to make news.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but this time he just didn't care. He was angry.
Right,
because he was angry.
Yeah, this is a funny text. EB's just trying to earn that Emmy.
No, we're not going to get an Emmy. I'm convinced of it. You can't run a show on Zoom cameras and get an Emmy. We ain't getting an Emmy.
Cameras falling down.
If you do this on your show, watch this. If you do this on your show, you're not getting an Emmy. Okay? I know that.
I just thought that was funny.
But we should have gotten an Emmy for Table Manners. And this early version of the show, when we had Doug and all those guys, we had six producers and we had B-roll, that should have gotten an Emmy too. 100%.
What about Junks TV? Junks TV was silly. Always sleep on that.
It was so long ago.
I think those shows were fun. I don't think they were Emmy worthy, to be honest.
All I know is I blew a deal for Hooters. Didn't I blow a deal?
Yes, you did.
An alcohol deal
or
something?
It cost us about $50,000.
Yeah. Hold on.
Eventually we got the money back. You snuck a mini into Hooters.
Of course. Hooters should serve cocktails.
They might now.
They might now, but 15 years ago they didn't.
Yeah.
But hold on. One last thought about Riz.
Talk about this for 4 hours.
I've gone over to Nats Park and had lunch with Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times.
Big time.
Yeah, I'm big timing you here. I've gone over there, and we've talked off the record about a bunch of stuff. I know what kind of personality is. So when he said that yesterday, I was not surprised one bit. I can only imagine what his reaction was during the game.
He's fiery, he said.
Oh, he's a fiery Italian.
That's why I asked him, did he go down in the tunnel and challenge somebody?
I guarantee he thought about it.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington all year long celebrating the Junkies' 25th anniversary presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org. We put out podcasts every Thursday after the show. So that means today after the show, you can hear us recapping how the poop foam idea came about.
I tried to incorporate something that you guys talk about during the week.
Yeah.
No, so I appreciate it. I try to make it somewhat relevant.
I'm telling you, these guys love – I'm always amazed at their memory, at their passion for their show. Whenever Valdez ultimately decides he wants to grow up and move on with his life, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble.
It's gotten into you today.
Well, I mean, it's being
– am I the new Drabby?
No, but I know
am I interesting?
Listen, I got my – I know these guys have our back. I'm going to break your balls when I get pissed. But I know at the end of the day, that's how it is.
Believe me,
Valdez knows that.
Yeah. You guys were very vibrant during the break. What was going on back there?
No, we can't talk about it.
There's some stuff you can't talk about.
Oh, I would love to.
No, there's some stuff just to be politically, just keep things mellow.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's all. There's certain, you know.
If you would be social, you'd know.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. It's a great point.
Yeah, I know.
Does he move?
He was I think he's a statue for the first hour.
He does laps sometimes.
The only time I'll leave the studio is if I have to go to the bathroom or if I'm going to get some good water.
Don't you do a lap every once in a while? You go over there to holler a little bit.
Well, I used to. Go talk to Guy Lambert.
Yeah.
Every once in a while on paydays, he'll come in here.
Oh, because he's
happy. So maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll do a little chit-chat, one out of the 12 segments.
You weren't here, but I think it was Tuesday where Jason left literally out of the studio 10 seconds after.
Well, to be fair, hold on. To be fair, I had a meeting in Tyson's at 10:30.
Okay.
So I had to get
but
there.
Trap was so distraught. He was like, Jason, leave? I was like, yeah.
He calls me at, I don't know, call it 10:20. I'm on 66. He goes, where are you? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going home. He goes, yeah, you got something to cut. Got some report. I said, sorry, bro. You got to tell me. You got to tell me at 9:45.
No, I called you at 9:57, and then we finally talked at 10:20.
Yeah, I didn't. Before
you got your car, 100%.
Jason, my phone was in my pocket, so I didn't hear it.
Jason turns off his phone as soon as the show ends and turns it back on at 10:30. He can't turn around.
But he's been doing the bit for years, probably even when we were a nighttime show, where he starts packing with about 2 segments to go.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I mean,
I know Jason.
I like to get out of here.
I don't blame you.
You guys are stick circle guys. No, I'm just not that way.
No, I like to generally, but I also do enjoy a little conversation with my coworkers.
Yeah.
It this is seem
you
to
know
move
what?
You.
Here's the conversation with the coworkers right here.
4 hours. Right, right.
But you know what? These guys know the way I'm wired.
We know how you're wired.
Right. If Drabby wants to talk to me about something, he'll just come in the studio and say, "Hey, this is the."
He
knows I'm not going to go in there and talk about something, especially show related. I'm just not going
to. He needs to come in a segment before to tell you I need you to cut something after the show.
Yeah, and he kind of knows that, but. I didn't know it on
sometimes
purpose.
Sometimes he forgets.
Well, it was me and Cody Betts on Monday, and we had
say this, Valdez, you'll never feel. I know that sometimes, you know, Valdez, we goof on him, the Dina, and you know, and they just break his balls about everything. But when he's gone, mm-hmm. Drabby hates having to do the SUDO. So he, you know what I mean? You are, you'll never feel more appreciated, but you're never here to see it.
Drab tells me. Drab gets very excited when I come back.
Well, that's why I want to.
He hates when you're gone.
That's why I want to report his overuse of vacation days.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Because it's tilting me. He's clearly taking advantage of the system.
Yeah, good for you.
I don't even know where to find out how many vacation days you have. Not
I
show
guess
me
it's
that.
On it's on some website, but I just take off when I want to take off, and if it's around that number, okay.
Hey, I never feel worse than when I tell Drab I got a vacation coming up because the look on his face is just like he shot his dog.
I don't think people understand sort of behind the scenes. Like, I guess people get it in their own jobs. Like everyone has mastered their little craft and they know the idiosyncrasies and the nuances of their job. So one of Valdez's jobs is he's kind of in charge of all of the commercials we read, right? And it's a wacky system, and you have 9 million people entering stuff, and you know, and I'm not even scratching 1/100th of it. This computers don't work here well. So when he's gone, mm-hmm. then Drabby all of a sudden has to sift through. I mean, sometimes we do 18 live spots during the show. I'm not an exaggeration. Two or three per break.
I would have guessed more.
Yeah, and so Drabby's got to go through and find Lightstream, MGM, FanDuel, and then not last week's FanDuel, this week's FanDuel. Not last week's Reynolds team, this week's Reynolds team.
Today's MGM, because today's MGM is Clippers or Suns. You can't do Hawks.
And Valdez knows all of the dirty canals and where stuff's hidden and where you can find, you know, the dead bodies, where you can find. Drabby doesn't know where stuff is.
Yeah.
I would say it's the same feeling you guys have when you're asked to go inside a locker room and interview a player.
Yeah, because you're uncomfortable. It's not
just like the bane of your existence.
It's not your environment.
Yeah.
You don't know the parameters.
Right.
Yes.
Same feeling.
It's the same feeling. Yeah. This is
an awesome Valdez hour.
Same for your Valdez kind.
No, but I'm just saying that's behind the curtain what happens. And so if Valdez is not, you know, it's like any job. If someone's not there,
right,
you got to
like pick up the slack.
You got to pick up the slack. And
there's
if you
more
don't
work
know,
for you.
If you don't know the idiosyncrasies of that dude's job,
maybe EB's buttering you up because he doesn't want to turn in his comrex.
No, I've already had that conversation with many people. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not turning in my comrex.
I think the Rex Chapman's staying in my office in my house.
Yeah, if I have to, I'll buy another one. Doesn't matter to me.
No. I won't. I certainly won't buy another one. I'm keeping that one.
Let's go to Brendan in Richmond, one of our loyal Richmond callers. Brendan, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, as a diehard baseball fan for my whole life,
yes,
St. Louis Cardinal fan, I'm just sick of these guys that are constantly cheating. I mean, it's always in baseball, whether it's steroids, cork bats, sticky stuff on stuff, sign stealing, videotaping signs. Mm-hmm. MLB's constantly trying to figure out how to stop these guys from cheating. It's the only sport other than cycling in Europe where these guys cheat this much. I don't understand why I can watch golf and these guys are in golf, they'll turn themselves in before they'll win a tournament.
Yeah, but there are some guys that will cheat. There are some guys that will cheat.
There's some workarounds.
Yeah.
They all pretend like, oh, we just needed to control the ball. So bull S. These guys are using it for curveballs and sinkers. That's why they want it. It's not for grip.
Well, yeah, it is for grip.
It gets
because
so old as a fan watching this.
Brennan, it is for grip. It is for grip because they can control the ball and their pitches, whether it's a curveball or slider or whatever, with the grip.
Yes. So
it definitely has something to do with
and
the grip.
And I think that they've described it, too. You could go that extra 5% if you – the better you could grip the
it's
damn
simple.
Thing.
It's simple. I'm kind of with Brennan. It's cheating. Mike Rizzo came on here 2 weeks ago and said it's cheating.
No, no, no. There are certain
things.
He wants
to get
it's
out.
Not that simple.
There are certain unwritten rules.
There's a level, JP.
True, but
the balls, every ball is different. Listen,
right.
Why do you think Tom Brady was deflating the ball?
Because it so helped him.
Because he could grip it. Because the balls are slippery.
I understand why, but it's still cheating. It's against the rules. Rizzo said it himself. It's against the rules, and he wants all cheating out.
Well, hold us. Wait a second.
Even though I guarantee you,
the clip from Rizzo.
Okay, that's fine. But I guarantee 80% of Rizzo's pitchers were doing it.
I'm not disagreeing.
If not 100%,
I'm just saying I agree with them. They're trying to get the cheating out. It's that simple.
Yeah, I know. I just think it's a knee jerk.
Yes, but there is a fine line. There is an element of gripping the ball. You're dismissing it like
it's gripping the ball. It's fine. It helps them, but it's cheating. It's just like if they outlawed.
Oh, hold on.
If they outlawed, I forget what they called it. Back Lester Hayes used to use a ton of it.
Stick 'em.
Yeah, the stick 'em stuff.
If they outlawed stick 'em, and a guy is still using stick 'em because it helps them grip the ball, it's still cheating.
Correct. But
so
in this
case,
instance,
it's outlawed. It's
spider
cheating.
Tack wasn't specifically outlawed. Now they have. So if you use it, I would agree with you.
It was cheating. That's why Rizzo came on the show and said he'd like to get the cheating out. That's the goal, to get the cheating out of the sport.
But the
That's pretty
but,
simple.
But the root of it, the only reason we're doing this, the root of it is because the strikeout.
Pitchers are dominating.
Right, because they're getting stronger and better as young kids in high school and college, and they're throwing harder than than Doc Gooden and all those guys were
they're trying
at that
to take
same
away
age.
I understand.
And the strikeouts are doing this, and the batting averages are doing this. If it was like this, we wouldn't even hear about it. And the
correct
media gets a hang of it, and they or gets a hold of it, and they just run with it. And so baseball has to react. It's just a whole. It's a trickle down. It's a trickle down.
But everybody
it's only
is
because
trying to
it's
game.
Only because the sport felt like the games were too long. The media was hammered. Maybe the attendance was down in certain cities, yada, yada, yada. If we didn't hear about this 10 years ago.
But there's,
didn't hear about it.
But there's gamesmanship in every sport where they push the envelope. I mean, Belichick's been accused, and many teams, I'm sure, else are also doing it, filming other teams' practices. You know what I mean? The deflating the balls, the dipping the balls in water, all the millions of things that all these guys do. In tennis, guys will push the envelope with bathroom breaks that are fake, mm-hmm, just to break up momentum of a tennis match. Golf, guys are notorious cheaters, marking their balls. I mean, you know what I mean? Even just like an inch, which is dumb. Yeah. Guys have been doing it for decades. Everyone always pushes the envelope. There's no doubt about it.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Coming up next, we open up the Junkies sports page, filling in on the NBA playoffs and more. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.